Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, it is time, and if you will, when you're ready, give us a centering tune. We will begin our service with the promise of the presence of the Lord here today. Amen. Hallelujah. We've always been a small congregation, so one of my most quoted scripture, where two or more, amen, are gathered together in His name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I in the midst of them. Amen. So He's here today. And if we don't experience His presence here today, we're going to be disappointed when we leave. Amen. There's going to be preaching. There's going to be singing. There's going to be an opportunity to worship. But He inhabits. Once again, He always wants to manifest Himself. He inhabits the praises of His people. That doesn't mean He just shows up when we begin to worship. The ancient word for inhabit is enthroned. He's enthroned. He's put in His proper place of reverence when we worship Him from our heart. But when He is welcomed in our heart and in our midst, He manifests Himself to us. Amen. And He's here for a purpose of answered prayer. Whatever the needs are, we're going to pray about needs in a little while. Amen. After there's a message to build our faith, to believe Him for those needs to be met. Faith cometh by hearing. So we don't jump immediately into the needs. We immediately begin to focus on the Lord, the promise of His presence, the promise of His grace and His mercy today. So we're getting ready to receive from His hand. Hallelujah. There am I in the midst of them. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you on earth, if we stay in agreement with one another, we love and care for one another, that we can bear one another's burdens. If you want some homework to do, thank you. Everybody raise their hand and say, me. Except for Mike, he's a teacher. He's got homework every single day to grade papers and give people F's. It's just so easy to do for him. Just F, F, F. Except for that one gal or guy that he gives a F minus. That's worst kind of F that you could.
I don't give F's. They earn them.
Oh. One good thing about getting this old, Brother Taylor, is I don't have to go to school and put up with another teacher. What is it? What did we used to sing? School is out, no more teachers, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks. We love you, my brother. That's why we pick on you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you ever got a dirty look from a teacher back when you were in school? Or you were just so perfect with such a halo over your head? Amen. Here's what he said. Two or more of you gathering together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, in some church, a mega church this morning, there are thousands gathering in his name. Let me say something to you by the word of the Lord, the scripture. He's no more present there right now with 10,000 people praising him than he is here right now. Amen. For where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. And if two of you, here we are again, it's not the 10,000 praying, if two of you on earth shall agree, be in harmony with one another, and then agree on a need. Amen. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. So I'm not here just to give you goose pimples and liver shivers. I'm here to answer prayer, to meet needs, to manifest myself in more than just you feeling me, but actually finding me. Amen. And finding me faithful.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for, I have a spirit of expectation here today because he's here and because we're here in his name. Hallelujah. So that's always why I look for great things to happen in small situations that we are in. Now, I could look out today and say, well, if this is it, can't expect God to do much. We can't, you know, we're just a few people. But that two or more comes into play. Hallelujah. So if there was just a couple of us here today in His name, He would do the same thing for us as He will for a church full of 10,000 believers. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. This is the call of God when He calls us to salvation. He bids us to come. Jesus put it this way, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find what many of us here need in our life as Christians, as believers that have already come to Him. This is not just for the unbeliever. This is for the believer. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your soul.
Amen.
Now, we all need rest for our souls. Amen. We need that. We need that kind of peace that will allow us and cause us to be able to rest in our soul, to take the worries and troubles and pressures and problems that really torment our minds. Fear is the root of it all, and fear hath torment. But perfect love, listen, and this is many times many of us, I'm going to include myself, he that feareth is not perfected in love. We have some growing to do spiritually. We're not perfected in love. We're not perfect in any sense, but in particular, fear gets in when we're not perfected in love. Because perfect love, being perfected in love, the way we perceive it and the way we receive it, cast out all fear. Everybody say, all fear. Now, worry's got to go with fear.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen? Because if fear is conquered, that's the giant.
Yeah.
And worry
yeah.
comes along with it.
Right.
Perfect love casteth out all fear. And it's not how perfectly we love Him. It's how perfectly He loves us.
Right.
For we have known and believed the love that God has for us.
Yeah.
For God is love. Praise God. We've known it and we have believed it. And the reason you have to use your faith, when, yes, we have the cross. Yes, we have Jesus giving His life for us. But the reason you have to use your faith is because it is a love that passes knowledge. So to know it is not enough unless you believe it and receive it by faith. Sometimes you won't feel it. Sometimes I won't feel it.
Yeah.
It's not about feeling it. It's about believing it.
Yeah.
Not just because of the cross alone, but because God is love.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah. And they that come to Him must believe that He is.
Mm-hmm.
Is what? Not just that He exists alone, like many commentaries would tell you. Amen. The devils believe that and tremble.
Yeah.
But be it known unto thee, O vain man,
yeah.
faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Somebody say, let me just say how dead.
Graveyard dead.
You're learning. You're good sheep today. Graveyard dead. That's not just some little something we add. Because it defines that dead faith. Even as the body without the spirit is dead.
Right.
One thing's for sure, no matter how well you've known anybody, if you go to a funeral with an open casket and you walk by the casket and you look upon that person that you've known for years, it is very evident their body is there, but that person no longer inhabits it.
Amen.
Amen. Faith without works is dead as a corpse, as a body without the spirit.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? So if we don't use our faith, it's not a matter of having enough faith. It's a matter of using the faith that we have. They said, Lord, increase faith. We need more faith. We're facing bigger problems, greater trials. What we need is more faith. We need faith the size of the mountains we're facing. And he said, you know what he said? He said, have faith in God. Not in your faith. Have faith in God. We've known and believed the love God has for us. We have faith that He is love. He has love. He gives love. Hallelujah. And listen, it is so vitally important that we understand. Have faith in God. You had faith as a grain of mustard seed in God, whom you have come to know by revelation and realization. For the love of God that we're talking about, this agape, divine love, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a spiritual revelation, and it's a spiritual reality to us.
Right.
It's an experience spiritually of that love. Hallelujah. We've never experienced it. We know nothing about it. And we're asked to have blind faith. He said, nuh-uh. Focus on me. I am love. I express that love through my Son. He expresses it to you through His sacrifice on the cross. And we've known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. He that feareth is not perfected in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. That's why Paul told Timothy, who's drawing back because he preached and everybody ran off to somebody else. And he's standing there, you know, just discouraged, deeply discouraged. He said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Right.
Amen. That is not coming from God. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That is not an evil spirit. Now, there may be one of those devils that really promotes fear. But they didn't need deliverance. He didn't need deliverance from a spirit of fear, a devil producing fear. It was his own spirit that had entertained and accepted fear. And he told him, what you need is faith to arise. You have it, but you're not using it. So the faith you don't use is useless. Got one true and no amens. I'm going to run that by you again. Faith that is not used is useless.
Amen.
You have to use your faith.
Amen.
You've got to believe He is. And that He is a rewarder. Everybody say a spirit of expectation. And that He is a rewarder. First you've got a revelation, and then you've got an expectation. Hallelujah. Of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea. And if you thought in your heart that what you say, not because you said it, because He has already addressed that. That's why the Word of God is so important. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll have whatever you say.
Right.
We try to make that our authority, that we have it all. No, He has it all. He's the sovereign God that we serve with all power over heaven and earth and angels. Praise God and devils, by the way. Hallelujah.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
That's it. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Amen. Why do we do that? How do we do that? We look not at the things that are temporal. Everything in the material world is temporal. It's passing away. It's rusting away. 10,000 years from now, that car will not be another heap of rust somewhere. If it's even, well, the world won't be here. Everything is decaying. Everything is deteriorating. Everything in the material world is destined to be destroyed. So we don't walk by sight, by faith, by sight alone. We walk by faith. For everything we see is temporal. Amen. While we look not to that or them, but we look to the unseen that is eternal. You can't see God. You can't see Him, but we believe He exists.
Oh, yeah.
I may believe you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Thank God for that. I'm glad there's some faith in here today. Hallelujah. You actually believe salvation is real, it's true, and that God will honor His word concerning you and honor His Son's sacrifice concerning us. That's all the faith you need for anything else you need. The faith that got you saved, expressing that faith will be fought by the devil more than anything you're believing for. Amen. That's the biggest, greatest giant or mountain you'll ever face in your life. He doesn't want you. He don't want to lose you. He wants to hold on to you and take you to hell. There's some sick comfort in taking as many people with Him as He can.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But God has determined to take you to heaven to live with Him. And that's why He sent Jesus and sent the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's why He wants to address our faith. The faith you don't use is useless. The Bible said of ancient Israel, they had the gospel preached unto them just like us. But it did not profit them.
Not being mixed with faith in them
that heard. That's it. Not being mixed with faith
in them that heard,
in them that heard it.
Amen.
I said faith you don't use is useless. Therefore, the Word of God itself, the good news God has sent you, preserved it for you, is useless to you. Not being mixed with faith in them that hear it, in them that heard it.
Yeah.
Wow. That means I can preach an anointed message right from the Word of God today.
Yeah.
But if you don't mix faith with it, it won't help you at all.
Right.
And what a waste of your time. And frankly, what a waste of God's time. Why show up ready to do something if nobody's going to believe Him for it? If you don't believe it's going to change, I guarantee you, your faith in that direction, you're using faith. You don't realize it. You just have faith that it ain't going to change. I got faith it ain't going to change. That's faith in action. That fear that's gripping you, that doubt that's troubling you, is using your faith in the wrong direction. Fear is faith in reverse.
Yeah.
Faith is fear in reverse. You can't help but be gripped by fear when certain things occur. You can't help it. Looking at the news, there's fearful things all around us.
Yeah.
What if this? What if that? What if the other? Here's what the psalmist said of old. What time? I am afraid.
Uh-huh.
I will. I choose. It's a choice. You got to understand, you're not the victim of circumstances. You're the victim of choices that we make. I choose to believe Him today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm making that choice. Because if I don't choose to believe Him, I'm open to every debilitating, disabling fear that is going to grip me. Fear, in the Latin understanding, the Latin word for it is a wolf seizing a sheep by the throat and choking it to death. They don't use their incisors to begin to tear it apart and eat it or even kill it. They kill it and they can tear it apart at their leisure.
Yeah.
But the death blow is when they grip them by the throat and choke them to death.
Yeah.
And you know what entertaining fear does? It allows the devil to choke our peace to death.
Yeah.
Our joy to death. Our faith to death.
Yeah.
He chokes us until it dies. We were in a motel room as we get ready to worship at the end of this preaching. Evidently, it's changed today. We don't follow any rules in order to be led of the Spirit.
Right.
If we don't use our faith, it's useless. And don't let the devil strap some kind of guilt trip on you. This is God's word to us today. This is not something I prepared. I prepare every time I come to the pulpit. I rarely get to preach exactly what I prepared. Amen. Because he knows who's going to be here. And he knows just exactly what those needs are going to be. And he loves us enough to challenge us to change our attitudes and get rid of be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what it means to be. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, sound doctrine means healthy and wholesome and pure, but sound mind is entirely different. It means disciplined in the Greek. A mind that is not just open to anything and entertains anything, but a mind that is disciplined is a mind that is directed. That's why the Apostle Paul summed it up this way. Finally, brethren, let's sum it up. Let's have a summation. That doesn't mean I'm done, so just hang out a little while longer. Amen. Finally, my brethren, here's the discipline. Are you ready for it? Whatsoever things are pure, true, holy, lovely, praiseworthy, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, are you ready? Think on these things. Strong in the Greek. It means think only on these things.
Yes,
casting down. Didn't it say casting down imaginations? And every high thing. This is in the mind where this battle is going on. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Everybody say disciplined mind. Every thought. Every thought. Every thought. Oh, into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. George Strait, country music singer. Anybody ever listen to country music? It's okay. It's not a test. You've listened to country? I have too. There's some good country songs out there. Amen. Like there's a tear in my beer over you. I mean, that'll really get you going. Can you say it? No? That's a bad song. There's a tear in my beer over you. I mean, there's some crazy stuff around. But anyway, it's in all music has some bad stuff in it. But George Strait had a song where he said Amarillo by Morning that sold a million copies, about a rodeo guy that's going from town to town. And while he's singing the song in the background, they are superimposing an actual rodeo where a guy comes out of the chute. He's on a Brahma bull and it's bucking and he's trying to make 8 seconds before he gets off of that bull himself instead of getting thrown off of it. But something that I noticed that caught my attention is the bulldogging, they call it. They let this is not a calf. This is a big steer, and he's got horns, and they turn him loose, and a guy's riding along beside on his horse, and suddenly he jumps off his horse, grabs that thing by the neck, falls to the ground with him, and flips that thing until his feet are up in the air. He dominated that strong steer and flipped him over. You know what your thoughts and mine are like? If we don't bring them into captivity, they're going to run away and do whatever. They're going to go here, they're going to go there, they're going to go here, they're going to go there. A sound mind means a disciplined mind. Timothy, you've got faith, but you're not using it. That was Paul's message to Timothy. You've got faith, that you're not using. And because you're not using it, it is useless. And the gifts of the Spirit that have been given to you for your ministry are laying dormant in your life. Dormant in your life. First thing he told him is what he needed to hear. You've got faith. You've got faith. Listen, when you're troubled and fear has set in, you feel like you have no faith. And the devil wants you to believe that you have no faith. He wants you to have faith in your no faith.
Yeah.
Faith in your no faith.
Yeah.
Have absolute faith in your no faith. I don't have enough faith to believe God for that. Say, you don't need more faith. You need to put your faith in me.
Yeah.
Listen carefully. If your faith is useless, how are you going to get a prayer answered? Whatever you ask, why pray? That's what he wants you to do. Just quit praying. Give up on God. And give up on yourself. And give up on your faith. And give up a spirit of expectation.
Yeah.
And he's got scripture to lay on you. And it's true. Whatever you, but let him ask, if anyone lack wisdom, just one thing from God that he wants and gives to all men liberally. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men freely. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, let not he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea,
driven with the wind and tossed.
Driven and tossed. Whatever the circumstance is, you're like the wave of the sea. You have to go with the flow. Let not that man expect anything from God.
Amen.
He wants to kill your expectancy. Because if he kills your expectancy, he wants to kill you. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you. When you get more stuff, it's no. When you find total satisfaction and fulfillment in Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. So he attacked faith. So you won't use your faith. So Paul reminds Timothy, who thought his faith had failed, so he thereby wouldn't use it. He said, Timothy, you have faith. And what did he base that on? He said it because it was in your mother and your grandmother.
Right.
Amen. Did he get it by osmosis, spiritual osmosis? Did their faith somehow just pass on to him because they had it? No, no. It was something going on in that house where he was raised.
Right.
Amen. It was in your grandma, it was at Lois and Eunice. I don't know which one is.
Lois and Eunice, yeah.
Lois and Eunice, right. Instead of Eunice and Lois.
I don't know which.
I don't. I'm so glad you don't either. Amen. It makes me feel much better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Eunice and Lois was his mother and grandmother, whichever one it was, the switch. But the issue was, how did Paul know, just growing up in that household, that he had to have faith? He said, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. That's what, let me throw this in here right now. Faith cometh. Faith cometh,
by hearing.
Faith cometh,
by hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
The commercial. All the singing, all the shouting, all of the even the worship is not more important than the word.
Amen.
The Bible said he exalted his word above his name.
That's right.
And David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I don't have to struggle with choices. I see it clearly because of your word.
Amen.
We have an internet ministry. We had one little snippet from last week's service, and in 24 hours got 1,000 hits. And 1,100, and it's kind of growing. It could grow further. 1,000 people saying, I want to hear that. That's not a bad deal for a little group of people like us. Amen. With no notoriety. But people are hungry for something. They're hungry for hope. They're hungry for hope. They're hungry for hope. And you only hear this particular statement mainly at a funeral concerning the conquering of death and the hope we have in the resurrection. We are not like others who have no hope. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're not using your faith, it is useless.
True.
And if your faith is useless, you don't have any hope. True. Only when you use your faith does hope come alive within you. Praise God.
Amen.
So he said, Timothy, God did not give you this spirit of fear that now your own spirit is a recipient of and reflecting. But he gave you the spirit of love, power, and a sound. Say it with me, a sound, disciplined mind.
Amen.
Praise God. That's why the Bible said we need to be put off the old man and be renewed in what? The spirit. You don't just put off the old, put on the new. You put off the old, and in order to put on the new, you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Right.
It takes on a spirit of expectancy of good. In fact, its hope is defined as the glad. The glad comes before anything as the glad anticipation of future good. The glad anticipation of future good. Hallelujah. So the gladness comes the moment hope arrives. And bring in that spirit of expectancy. And that's faith in action. That's faith in action. I believe things are going to get better in my life than they've ever been. I believe that for me. Now, I don't know what you're going to believe for your life. Maybe you believe it's going to get worse. Hey, guess what? Your faith is in action. You have faith.
Yeah.
You just need to redirect it, and you need to get... I was about to quote a movie that I wouldn't watch. It's R-rated. But I watched it R-rated before they let all the stuff in on television.
Yeah.
So R-rated movies still wouldn't let certain things in.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll just quote a saying from it. And you recognize it. Don't ever watch it. Amen. Not good for you. To a guy, a prisoner that was always rebelling, you need to get your mind right. What we have here, it's an iconic term, is a failure to communicate. Just before he put him in the box for the night, that sweat box.
Yes.
You know what there is in between the Bible and us many times? A failure to communicate. We read it, we see it, we nod our head and acquiesce to it, but we just don't believe it enough to receive it. We use our faith to disbelieve. We use our faith to entertain fear. And we're using our faith in the wrong direction. Because one faith the size of a mustard seed in God. That's all it takes. But it's got to be in God. And it's got to come from His Word. How shall they believe? Listen to how faith is created. How shall they believe upon Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? That's not about subsidizing the salary. That's not about subsidizing a missionary. That's about God putting His hand on someone and sending them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what apostle means? Well, it means this person who's climbed the hierarchy of spiritual status. No, it means a sent one. Someone God has personally called, personally commissioned, and personally sent. One thing unique to the original 12 was that he called everyone personally. Paul was one of the last ones to come in, and he appeared to him on the road to Damascus and personally called him. Amen. And didn't just tell him what a great ministry he was going to give him. No. Told him how many things he's going to suffer for his name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
How many things you're going to, because my hand's on you, the devil's going to recognize you as a direct, distinct threat.
Yeah.
And because he sees you as a direct, distinct threat, what's going to happen? He's going to lay it on you.
Yeah.
And he laid it on so hard, Paul prayed for it to be removed.
Right. He did. Right.
Many people call that his thorn in the flesh. There's a whole lot of interpretations. He had trouble everywhere he went.
Yeah.
But God took him through every bit of it.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Turned it all around and was glorified anyway. Praise God. This rejection of the positive.
Yeah.
This rejection of the very word of God to us sets us up for defeat and depression.
Amen.
And mental torment. Fear hath torment. You lay in bed at night, and all these thoughts, when I went through nervous exhaustion, I couldn't control my mind. It seemed completely out of my control. I had the will to direct it to only positive things, but it was out of control. These thoughts would come and they would seemingly overwhelm me. All I could do and all I did was cry out to God, call upon the Lord for help.
Hallelujah.
In this particular area of my life.
Amen.
Listen, I would go over to the church. We lived behind the church when I was going through that in Sulphur Springs. I would open my Bible. I watched somebody on television preaching hyper faith, and I think, well, I'm sunk. I don't have that kind of faith. So I'm sunk. I'm wavering. So let not that man expect anything. I'm sunk. God is not going to listen to me because my faith is imperfect. But I found a man was struggling with his faith like me in the book of Psalms. I didn't find it in the preacher that has 1 hour all fixed up. Amen. Looking sharp and good, and he got it together. And I thought, that don't help me a bit, because that's not me in my circumstance.
Amen.
I'm struggling with my faith.
Yeah.
I don't know why God won't just take this problem that I'm having away from me so I can just keep on running for Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't he? Paul. Then I did find Paul with the same problem.
Yeah.
That prayed 3 times. Just get this out of the way. I want to run for you. I'm anointed. I'm seeing miracles happen. I'm seeing people come to God. Why is this trouble always coming to me? No answer, no answer, no answer. Then when the answer came, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And what you need more than no trouble is an experience of how to appropriate that grace that's available to you. What is grace? Oh, what is it? An acronym? G-R-A-C-E. Oh, this will really help you. If I just had a big board up here and I drew it. God's. See an acronym here today. God's. G-R. How does that go? Does anybody know the acronym?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, there you are. I got it. Grace. Is that all there is to grace, is a knowledge of an acronym for grace? We don't need an acronym for grace. We need an experience of grace. And what does grace allow, this unmerited favor? What does it allow? It allows us to do something ancient Israel could never do. And that is go behind the veil into the express presence of God and experience it. And it allows for something else that ancient Israel could never experience. It's God coming from behind that veil and manifesting himself to them. That veil said, keep out. That veil said danger. That veil said unworthy. But what happened when Jesus said it is accomplished on the cross?
Yeah.
God did something to that veil.
Yes, he did.
Woo! I'm the only one. Oh yes, everybody here just will sit and look at me and stay in the state you're in the state of mind you're in. Amen. I'm asking God right now, give me what they're not going to use. Please give it to me. Please, I need it in my life. I'll use it. I want to hear. I have been known to be listening to something that was building my spirit in the Word. I have been known on a way somewhere, but I got 15 minutes to spare. I've been known to pull over in a parking lot and finish listening to that message. It's getting so bad, amen, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm threatening to listen to my own message. It's bad when you can't find something to not just give you a formula, but to tell you how to do it and how God will help you do it. Hallelujah, and challenge you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not just condemn you. Your heart will condemn you. The devil will condemn you.
Yeah.
God wants to help you today.
Amen.
Lord, I believe. What happens when somebody says and is honest, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief? He says, bring him to me. Bring him to me.
Yeah.
Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Wow. What a day that we're living in.
Yeah.
God did not give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Be sober, be vigilant. It's in that soberness of mind that he's talking about.
Yeah.
Praise God. He's not talking about alcohol. Listen. So he tells Timothy, you got faith. Now, here's the next thing he tells him. Stir up. Use your faith that you have.
Yeah.
To stir up the gift that is in you. What was the gift that was in him? By the laying on of hands. When he was called to the ministry, hands were laid on him to put him forth into ministry. And there is, and people misuse this, abuse this, but there was a definite impartation of the gifts he needed to fulfill the ministry he was called to.
Amen.
I remember my wife's grandmother. Her grandpa was my grandpa's pastor and my daddy's pastor. My wife's grandpa was my grandpa's pastor and my dad's pastor in Kentucky. And when Corbin Hall passed away, there was a mantle available. Whatever mantle he had was now available for someone else. There's a biblical precedent. Elijah is going to be taken up into heaven, not seeing death. But Elisha is in line for the mantle. God takes men, but he doesn't take mantles. But if he took that anointing from the earth, there couldn't be anyone else come along. When Elijah's gone, the miracles are over. But Elisha, he said, I know God's going to take you up one day.
Yeah.
And I want a double portion of your anointing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
God.
When it happens. He said, if you're with me when it occurs, You can have that mantle. That, look, think of a cloak that he was wearing. But it's spiritual. It's spiritual.
Yeah.
And so they're walking along, and I guess Elijah's singing "Me and My Shadow." Who was shadowing him every step of the way? Elijah. Because Elijah wanted that anointing. He said, God's going to use somebody. If he takes him, he ain't going to leave a vacuum here. He's going to have somebody standing in the wings, and I want to be there.
Amen.
I want to be that somebody for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're with me, if you're committed enough, devoted enough, and God sees you're worthy of that mantle, he'll grant it to you. So, a chariot of fire. Oh, by the way, they crossed the river. And actually, Elijah is going over. And he tells Elijah, just stay here. I'll be back in a little bit. And you know what Elisha says? Not so, Lord. No, you're not. If you're going, I'm going. Because it could happen. So I'm right here. And the chariot of fire that took him up did something else vitally important.
Yeah.
It said it separated Elijah from Elisha. Because if it's like, what? One of these space movies where they beam you up. When he'd have had to take them both. Because right there, will you stand next to me for just a minute? Elijah. This is Elijah here. And I'm Elisha. The chariot is coming. Elisha sees that chariot of fire coming.
Yep.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I need a chariot of fire.
You got one right next to you. Right
here. Stir your fire.
He's moving like I move when I get up. You got a long way to go, son. Yeah, just... Don't start now. Just start. You can train now for this age. When the chariot came, God either had to take both of them because Elisha was so committed to be used of God. Not to show out,
right,
but to bring glory to God, honor to God, that there may be more than a figurehead in the sky, that there may be a Father that can be called on, that can answer, that can do things and will do things.
Yeah.
But I need the anointing.
Yeah.
I need this mantle.
Yeah.
I can't do it in myself. I can't learn it in college. I can't even learn it from Elijah. I have to have his mantle. And the Bible said the chariot of fire, before taking Elijah up, separated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elijah, come on. Is that important?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Why? Because God is not taking the anointing from this earth. He's looking for someone that says, I need you. I need the anointing. I need the supernatural. I've got faith in a God who hears and answers. Hallelujah. He got the mantle. He got the mantle. He got the mantle. And he said, but wait a minute. This mantle only works by faith.
That's right.
Only by faith.
Right.
It's not magic. It is a symbol of God's faithfulness to honor our faith in Him.
Amen.
And He walked over to the river. And He said something that I'm going to say loud and clear this morning. Hallelujah. What did he say? He walked up to the river and he looked up into heaven and he said, listen, it's not enough that I saw this operate in Elijah's life. I want it to operate in my life. Amen. But what was operated in his life was the God that he served, and the God that he trusted, and the God that he looked to. Where is? Where is this God of Elijah? And God is listening. And he's saying, oh, I like that. There's something about bold faith that God honors because it honors him so much. Hallelujah. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? Used to be required reading for a graduating class of the Church of God Bible College in Cleveland, Tennessee. Was Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revivals Tarry. Why Revivals Tarry. Why do they not keep coming in waves over and over? Why are we not seeing revivals? And one of the chapters was titled, Not Where is the God of Elijah, but Where are the Elijahs of God? Where are people that are not so good at preaching, so astute in theology, so knowledgeable in the scriptures that they don't need desperately the anointing of God on that ministry, because they're so well qualified? And if it's not just their qualifications, it's their ability to lead, it's their personality and ability to get people together and get them to do things and to motivate people. They become mere motivational speakers, life coaches, without the anointing. The reason I take off if the anointing begins to flow and not go with the program, because there is no real program for God moving. You can program him out of the program. You can't program him in without being yielded to the Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where are the Elijahs of God? People who will pay the price for the anointing. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I've been going through a sickness problem. But when I preach the anointing, there's something that happens. I cannot explain it. But there's something about being exposed to the anointing that helps me believe God. It's not the feelings, the goose pimples. It's the fact of an expression of the presence of God. Hallelujah. In his presence, what is there fullness of? Joy. At his right hand, pleasure forevermore. Where are the Elijahs of God that want it that bad and will seek it that devotedly? And then prove it when they know they have it. Praise God. He walked up to that river and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Oh, by the way, when Elijah went up, he remembered, when I go up, you can have the mantle. So you're going to have to pick this up. I'm not going down there. No, it's because I'm wired and something's going to come loose. And because I'm old and something may come loose. Give me something today. Help me get through this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When he went up, when that chariot is taking him up, come on, give me a little. Good servant. Good servant. Hallelujah. Amen. The mantle came down. He grabbed it. He grabbed it, walked over to the river. Where? Where? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. The Lord God of Israel that changes not. Where is that God? And he smote the waters. Did God show up? Yeah, he did. But he did it in the parting of those waters. Praise God. He said, here am I. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is a God who longs to manifest himself to his people when he can find some Elijahs of God. So the devil wants to suppress your faith, oppress you, mess up your mind. God wants to turn something around in somebody's life here today. I said God wants to turn something around in somebody's life here today. To sum it up, I want to read a scripture to you. And if you will plug that in and plug me out for a moment, I'll give you a chance to get back. We take excerpts and put it up online, but you're getting it firsthand today. Praise God. How many people do you believe need this message today? Amen. Just a handful of us. Everybody else getting entertained, going home, well-timed. In fact, it's time to quit right now in almost every church in the city. Amen. We're just getting started, and I'm going to stop soon because if I have to go through this again, I'm going to have some bacon and eggs before I come next time. I'm going to need my Wheaties. We not only need people that appropriate the anointing, we need people that will appreciate the anointing.
Amen.
And the lack of people here shows you just how valuable that is. But if you ever need a miracle, if you ever need deliverance, if you never need God to answer prayer and come through in your life, you better get under the anointed word and to get in a situation where you can personally experience that anointing in your life, because head knowledge, mental assent is not going to be enough without the Holy Spirit manifesting and moving. Amen?
Amen.
So, God turns things around when we trust Him for it. Listen to what it says, and this is just part of a message. Amen. I usually have 5 or 6 pages. I only have 3. I'm only going to read page 1. Just the scripture. Psalm 126. When God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were as them that dream. You know why? Because the reason they were in captivity is because of their rebellion and their disobedience. They had failed God on every level. They were paying the price of corrective judgment. God allowed their enemies to overcome them. God allowed their enemies to take them into captivity. And now they are under God's consternation and their enemies' captivity. And all their hopes of coming home and getting things right with God and back to normal seem to be dashed and over with. But God is a merciful God.
Yes.
You didn't hear me. Because He is love, He has mercy. You can't have love and not show mercy. You cannot love somebody and not show mercy. And because God is merciful, He said, even though you have created your own problem, you are reaping what you have sown. And I'm allowing you to have to face the consequences. But I'm a merciful God. And I love you too much to leave you like that. And a day came when He said, enough is enough.
Amen.
Praise God. Enough is enough. And when Babylon tried to hold them, the mightiest nation on the earth at that time tried to keep them back, He said, will the axe stand that heweth? Why do you use me? In other words, do you think because you've got such power that I don't have power over you?
Yeah.
In Egypt, same thing. They had failed to believe God. Now they're captive in Egypt. But when God says, let my people go.
Amen.
And they said, who is God that I should honor him? And God said, okay. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. He looked forward to them saying no, so he could prove himself.
Right.
Not for Israel's sake. It would affect them, bless them, but for his own name's sake.
Yeah.
And you say, man, let my people go. And you say, who is God that I should listen to him? Then the frogs came.
Right.
The water turned to blood.
Yeah.
Pestilence came.
Yeah.
I mean, all broke loose in Egypt.
Yeah.
Until they were so troubled by the power of God smiting them that they said, y'all want to leave? It said that they were glad to see them go.
Yeah.
Praise God. God wants to do something in our life to turn things around to the degree that the devil that's trying to hold us in captivity is going to be glad to see us go.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we don't get a hold of this, every service, I don't care what kind of programs you're used to, I don't care if your friends and your fellowship is more important than your own personal victory, at some point the Word's going to have to take precedence over that.
Yeah.
If you just want to have a good time at church and not be challenged, so God can change, actually do something in your life.
Yeah.
And show himself strong. Hallelujah. Then there are churches on the way here and on the way home that will accommodate you and give you what you are hungry for.
Yeah.
But if you're not satisfied and you won't change in your life and you need something turned around and fellowship won't turn it around. Music won't turn it around. Wonderful worship won't turn it around. Well-timed, illustrated sermon won't turn it around. Then you need God.
Amen.
And you need to believe God.
Amen.
And you need Elijah's God to show up for you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God turns things around.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, God's ready to turn something around. I'm looking for a turnaround. Not just because it's a new year, but because of what he's calling me to. Can you detect what he's calling this little pastor to this morning? I'm preaching like I'm preaching in a camp meeting. I should be saying, let's get it on. Let's get it over with. Let's do something fun. Let's all go out to eat and go home. And if I get them home early, they're going to say, wow, that was a good service. But a day will come when you're going to need more than a well-timed, a well-organized presentation. You're going to need God to show up. When you were in the hospital and your wife called me to pray and I called you because it was during the plague time and couldn't come to the hospital, put me on speakerphone, we prayed together and the God of Elijah showed up. They didn't know what was wrong with him or how to help him, but it was getting worse. And when the doctor can't fix it, you need the God of Elijah to show up.
Amen.
Can you? Well, let me give you something. The God of Elijah is your God and our God. Maybe your own foolishness got you into trouble. Maybe you went through a time of chastising. Listen, God's love is unbroken.
Amen.
In fact, the chastisement is a full expression of his love.
Amen.
I don't know where you were spiritually, but when the doctors shake their head, an old pastor calls, I believe the distractions were kind of put in the peripheral. I believe God had my attention to pray for you and your attention to receive it by faith. Can you amen that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God has a way of getting our attention, but it's because He loves us. Whatever we're facing. And God said, amen, to Babylon, let them go. Mercy is being expressed. They don't deserve it. They know they don't deserve it. Therefore, all their hope was gone. Yeah. Jeremiah's hope, when he saw it happening. Galatians 3. When he considered the wormwood and the gall, the defeat of Israel carried away captive. When they hung their harps upon the willow trees. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? All hope was gone. But he said, this I recall to mind. There's that directed, disciplined mind again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Great is thy faithfulness. To not just deliver, but be motivated to deliver by something intrinsic to the unchanging character of God who is love. Mercy is new. Every morning. How many know when the sun came up this morning, hope came up for you? No matter what condition you are in or what brought you to it, there's hope for you. If your own sin and folly put you in that position, mercy showed up this morning. And I want to qualify one more thing, if you'll just stay with me. Will you stay with me? Another fit. Some people are already gone. Others wish you could, but you're stuck. Well, you're not stuck. You could leave, but I'm going to. It would look bad.
Yeah,
the optics would be bad right now. God tried to do something for somebody in here. I'm kind of glad when people that don't really want to get into this just take on off. God won't work where there's a bunch of people in disagreement. Thank you for the hearty
amen.
I'd rather have a few in agreement and see God work than to have 1,000 people and everybody in disagreement where God, not that He can't work, He just refuses to. I said He refuses to. I said He refuses. Oh, biblical precedent. Thank you for asking. Jairus' daughter is dead. He said, I'll come and raise her up. Ha ha. He walks in. She's laying there, dead as a doornail. He said, well, she's only sleeping. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Death is powerful. Who's he thinking he's only sleeping in the woman's graveyard dead? He said, listen, tell those people. Tell those people. Tell those people to get out of this room. Tell them to get out of this room. And they left. And he said, Tabitha, I say it, I who am the resurrection, I say unto you, arise. Glory to God. Listen, if you want the crowd, play to the crowd. If you want God, you've got to obey Him. You've got to forget the crowd. Can you say amen? I want a crowd. 10,000 people are not enough to hear this message. It's needed more than that because we don't serve a dead God. What separates our God and our Bible from the Koran and from other religions in the world? Because we have a God who we call on, who answers us if we call on Him in faith, and we demonstrate a covenant-keeping God and a prayer-answering God, Father God who cares for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if we can't demonstrate it, we'll never convince them.
Yeah.
We'll never convince them with our book. They got on. They can. My glasses, I know it so well. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Because not only was the mightiest nation in the world at that time holding them captive. But God had allowed it to punish them, and they knew it. So now they have no faith in God because of getting what we deserve. We brought this on ourselves. All hope is gone. But Jeremiah in Lamentation said, when I consider how bitter all this is and how bad it is, I recall this to mind. Everybody say, discipline mind.
Discipline mind.
Therefore have I hope.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In the general sense, no, in this case it's specific to his character and nature of mercy that is unchanging. That's why blind Bartimaeus didn't call upon his power or his anointing that he had heard of. That was a given concerning him. But here's what he appealed, his faith appealed to.
Yeah.
He's blind. He can't see Jesus coming, but he hears the crowd.
Yeah.
Because he's blind, his ears have become super sensitive to sound.
Yeah.
And when the sound of the crowd got very loud, he knew Jesus is right here passing by.
Yeah.
And he screams out in faith, Jesus, Son of David, come and heal me. No, he knew something was going to have to flow that precedes the power. Something was going to have to flow from the person that precedes the anointing. Have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Have mercy on me. And Jesus in this crowd pressing in on him. Oh, he yells it again. Jesus, Son of David, he's not going to get by without hearing me and my appeal to his mercy.
Yeah.
Have mercy on me.
Yeah.
And the disciples shush him.
Yeah.
You're troubling the master. You appeal to his mercy. You're not troubling him. You're acknowledging something about his unchanging character that honors him. And you say, man, God is love. If he's love, he has to have and show mercy. You can't love without being merciful.
Amen.
Wow. We've known and believed the love that God has for us. Now, how many need grace in your life? You don't get grace by appealing to God for grace. It doesn't start with grace. The Bible said Jesus experienced temptation like all of us without sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible said that he is moved with compassion toward us because he understands us. And he shows something to us in order to grant grace to us. And that's mercy. He said, because he is tempted, he knows how to succor them that are tempted.
Yes.
That means to give aid, to give help to.
Right.
Somebody here today, the devil is trying to disqualify you from God turning it around.
Yeah.
Don't let him do it to you.
Amen.
One day I was praying for someone that was a knothead. That don't mean they had bumps on their noggin. Now you're all pointing at each other. You see it, Lord. Y'all are so crazy. I love you to pieces. There, listen, he said the man of God must not strive, but must be gentle and patient with them that oppose themselves. They're blaming the devil, but no, if he didn't listen to the devil, it wouldn't be happening. It's self. Them that oppose themselves are the hardest people to help. Because we frustrate the grace of God, we fail to apply the Word of God, we get into trouble with God, and now we got a double negative. A devil wants to get at us, and God lets him to a degree. an emissary for Satan was sent to buffet me. I said, God lets him to a degree.
Yeah.
Is that what Paul said?
Yeah.
I know you don't want to hear it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for you that you have to be challenged by truth today. But you know what truth to receive will do for you? You know what it will do for you if you let it? It will set you free and keep you free.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Wow. This is vital to victory. God wants to turn something around in somebody's life. How many need something to turn around?
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Well, God is a God who turns things around. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, let's get through it. We were like them that dream. It was so real, it seemed surreal. This can't be absolutely happening. Come before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace. To obtain grace, not initially. Eventually. Not initially, but eventually. But to obtain mercy. Everybody say the target of my faith. Mercy and eventually grace to help in the time of any need. Doesn't start with grace. It starts with mercy. Hallelujah. Son of David, show me grace. Son of David, show me your anointing, your power, and your authority. Son of David, have mercy on me. You trouble the master. Hollering and hollering and just hollering your head off. But Jesus took it differently. Amen? He stopped in his tracks. Turned around in a crowd of people with needs. And said, bring that man to me. Woo! I want to be that man. I want to stir up some trouble. Amen. You know what the Bible said when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Give God no rest. He don't have to. He never slumbers or sleeps, but what it means is that you again? Is that you? Knock. Seek. Ask. Is that you again? I remember the song, It's Me Again, Lord.
Yeah.
You again? Yeah, me again.
Yeah.
I got a prayer that needs an answer.
Yeah.
It's me again, Lord.
Amen.
I got a
song.
You know the rest of it?
Here I am with something new.
Yeah. That only you can do.
Right. Yeah,
we'll make the rest of it up.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? I don't mean to trouble you. He said, that's okay, bring it on. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, God in heaven. We're almost done and we're just getting started. Hallelujah. God's going to do something for somebody in this room. And there are people going to miss what God wants to do for them because they are not going to get this challenge. It's going to be pretty. It's going to be neat, well packaged, and well presented. But this challenge that both convicts and convinces us of God's mercy and love for us simultaneously.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Because in His conviction is an expression of His love. I want to help you out of that mess. I want to help you out of that trouble. I want to help you out of the trouble that your own foolishness has brought. But I'm here to forgive you. And by the way, when there's repentance, there's always reciprocation. I'm going to use that term a lot. God reciprocates when we repent by forgiving and restoring.
Amen.
I said God responds to repentance with forgiveness and restoration.
Amen.
I will restore unto thee. Oh, what music to my ears and their ears at that time. The years that your sin and rebellion has cost you, I will restore unto you. The years that the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm and the locust have eaten. When that swarm of big old grasshoppers come to eat the whole crop, it wasn't finished. The judgment wasn't finished. They laid eggs, and the babies came, and the larva ate the roots. Not only was the harvest gone, but now there's nothing to make another harvest with.
Yeah.
It's complete hopelessness. I will restore unto you. God going to turn it around. God, say God's going to turn it around. I will restore unto you the years. And it's not going to take me years to do it. I'll restore unto you the years the palmer worm, canker worm, locust have eaten. Hallelujah. Because I will send you rain. I wish I had my rain stick and you could hold it again for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When He rains righteousness on us, He begins a restoration process in our life. He turns our captivity around. Glory to God. I will send you the former and the latter rain in one season. Your crops are going to be doubled, tripled, quadrupled to make up for the time that it was barren. Amen. The last wine is going to be the best wine. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because of His mercy, His grace, His person, His power. Hallelujah. When God turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream.
Yeah.
It seemed so impossible. Did you ever see a turnaround? They probably gave up. Why? And that's why it seems like a dream. One more illustration. Will you give me 5 minutes? Thank you. You're stuck. Anyway, it's going to be worth it to maybe one person, maybe two, maybe everybody. If you need a turnaround, you can't get it with a service rehearsing what you already know again in a nice, pretty package. But what's in the package? What you already know. With a new illustration and some new music to kind of keep you focused for a whole hour. Oh my God in heaven. I'll tell you, if you're into a good sitcom, an hour goes like that with your undivided attention. If you're binging some series on television, it has your undivided attention. The Mandalorian will hook you. I got hooked on The Mandalorian. I'm sitting there saying, my Lord, I was going to go clean out my car. But I want to see them tackle this guy. You know why I like The Mandalorian? Not because it's sci-fi. I enjoy sci-fi. You know why I like The Mandalorian? Because he's an older guy.
Yeah.
You give me an older guy or an underdog, and I'm for him. Hallelujah. Praise God, because I'm an old underdog. But it doesn't matter when I believe God. Hallelujah. I can be older and I can be the underdog. But when I believe God, I feel little V. Turnquist, who sang, I'm 4 feet 11, but I'm going to heaven. And it makes me feel 10 feet tall. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
One more illustration. Peter is put in prison. Herod. And he's in prison, destined for destruction. They fear these guys and the God they serve. Because he's in the prison and they shackle him to two guards. So not only is he in prison, but he's shackled to two guards. Now, that's not solitary confinement. That's in there with two guards.
Right.
And he's in the inner prison.
He's
so bad and such a threat to them, they put him in jail, in jail. They put him in the jail, in jail. The inner prison. And Peter, he needs the God of Elijah. Amen. He needs God to show up.
Right.
He needs God to turn that around. to turn his captivity. But he had such peace in the knowledge of who God is and the mercy God has. In one place, the apostles got through the constant threat of death and martyrdom by saying, if I live, I live unto God. If I die, I die unto God. Whether I live or die, I'm God's.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. If God lets it happen, he'll give me grace. You don't let it happen, you can't touch me anyway. Either way, I win. And the devil loses. Praise God.
Amen.
But the Bible said that God sent an angel.
Right.
And Peter is asleep. Amen. And the angel smote him on the thigh to wake him up.
And the chains fell off.
And the chains fell off when the angel hit him. The Spirit of God hit the chain. And the chains fell off. Now there's no chains. I don't know what happened to the guards. Amen. It's not real clear. Amen. But Peter realized, I have no chains. And the Bible said that he thought he had seen, was seeing, in the process of seeing, a vision. This is so far beyond anything real that could be possible. I thought I'm having a vision. And the angel said, come on, time to leave.
Put on your sandals and follow me.
Put on your sandals. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. He's making this service longer. Don't take it out on you. Amen. Put on your sandals and follow me. Are you ready to put on your sandals and follow Christ? Follow the Word of God?
Amen.
What did he tell him in Egypt when it's time to get out? Put on your sandals. Put on your walking shoes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Put on your sandals and follow me. So he still thinks he's seeing a vision. Or we might say a dream. Yeah. We were as them that dream.
Right.
And he said he's walking with him, still thinking he's in a vision. Until he got, and gates began to spring open. The inner prison opened up to the outer prison. The outer prison opened up to the outside.
Yeah.
And when he finally realized, this ain't no dream.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey! Hey! This ain't no dream. It's been so long since God has showed up and showed out in many churches. If he showed up and showed out, they'd think, oh, I need to wake up. This can't be my church. Amen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You've been there. You know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Lame man running and leaping and praising God. Two ushers grab him under each arm and throw him out for interrupting the service. You know what I'm talking about. You may know more theologically when you leave, but you won't know him any better.
Amen.
And if you don't know him, it doesn't matter how great your theology is.
That's right. Amen.
It's they that know their God that receive the strength to do exploits in his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Peter said, until he reached the outer gate and it opened, that he realized this is an angel of the Lord. Come to set me free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as the angel's mission was completed, he disappeared.
Yeah.
But he was real.
Amen.
And Peter recognized. It was so beyond my wildest dream. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Peter wants to tell somebody. So he goes to where the church is gathered, praying for his release and his protection. That's when the God of Elijah shows up and shows out. And he knocks on the door of the church that is praying. And how were they praying? With out ceasing.
Yeah.
What are you satisfied with? What are you going to live? What satisfies you? Yeah. Amen. What are you looking for? Does anybody need God to show up and help you with your mind and help you with your faith?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
I love preaching like this because it helps me. If nobody else gets it in here, it really helps me believe.
Amen.
Because I can't find it just anywhere.
Amen.
Not anymore. When if you talk about miracles, you're part of them. You're part of them televangelists that have hoodwinked and hornswoggled. Listen, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
That's right, amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Come on. He knocks on the door. Rhoda comes to the door.
Right.
A little servant girl while they're praying. Here's the knock over their prayers. She peeps out to see who it is. And she goes, whoa! What are they praying for? Peter's release.
Uh-huh.
And what does she see? The answer to prayer standing right there.
And they thought she was mad.
And she told... Help me preach this. Oh, Lord, have mercy. She said, hey! Hey! She's interrupting their prayer. Hey! 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 And they said, what? She said, Peter. Peter's at the door.
Yeah.
And you know what they said? They thought she was mad.
Yeah.
They said, you crazy? Rhoda, you so crazy.
Yeah.
You know it would take a miracle to get him out of prison.
Hallelujah.
Hello, come on.
Yeah.
If you're going to pray and discount the miraculous, why bother?
Right. Amen.
What's the point?
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Let me finish this. It's for somebody in here.
Yeah.
And you may not be the somebody, but for the sake of somebody in desperate need, please stay with me for just a little while longer. I went to prayer for someone that it was called in a prayer request, and I knew some things about the person. They were disobedient. They were rebellious. They were stubborn. They caused division, which God hates.
Right.
Six things, they were full of pride. Six things the Lord does hate. Seven is an abomination. It stinks to high heaven.
Amen. Right.
He that sows discord among the brethren.
Right.
And I'm called to pray for this person.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
How can I pray for this knothead that's got themselves into this mess and deserves what they're getting? How can I do that? And so they went up to the bed and put me on speakerphone. I do a lot of prayers by speakerphone by a sick bed. And I'm thinking, how can I pray the prayer of faith for this person to be healed and helped when they've done so many things to be chastised for, to separate them from God's grace and mercy? Well, see, that's the problem. Whatever they did, if they would repent in their heart, it did not separate them from His love and His mercy. And the Holy Spirit said, bring them before the throne of grace.
Praise God, praise God.
So that I can show them mercy and grant grace to help.
Praise God.
I said, oh, by the way, he wasn't done with me. I prayed in faith because I believe God is merciful.
Yeah.
And I believe if they repent, but I asked them to make sure any sin has been confessed, Let's open the door for God to move. Because whoever God forgives, God restores. Hallelujah. Amen. He turns everything around. And after I got through, the Lord spoke to my heart. And He has to speak to me on a sixth grade level. Because if you complicate it, you lose me. It has to be practical and personal. So if you're going to come on with some big, complicated something or another, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Don't give me your grand revelation and your theology. Give me Jesus.
Amen.
Theology has a great place, but it doesn't take His place. Was it designed to? God answered that prayer for that person. They never said thank you, so I imagine they're going to go through some more stuff. But anyway, moving right along. Not to me, to him, but anyway.
Yeah.
God moved. But then He spoke to me. He said, son, every child of God, no matter how righteous, good, and worthy they seem to be or think of themselves to be, when they come to receive anything from my hand, they can only come to one throne to receive it. And that's not just a throne where my omnipotence and power is expressed, but to the throne of grace. Because He was tempted in all points as we are, He's able to help them that are tempted. So let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of any need.
Yeah.
And He said, son, the next time you have a need,
yeah,
you're going to have to come to me just like that person you brought to me in prayer.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'd rather come that way.
Amen.
Because I can't present myself in a pristine, pure, perfect way every time I have a need.
Amen.
But I can present the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and claim,
yes,
and plead the blood of Jesus. When you plead the blood of Jesus, you're asking God to show you mercy,
right,
and grant you grace.
Amen.
Because of what He's done for you, not what you can do for yourself. Hallelujah. At any rate, they said, you crazy. But she kept on saying them. And I think it's implying that she thought she saw an apparition.
Yeah.
She thought she saw a ghost.
Yeah.
But they stopped praying long enough,
yeah,
to go to the door,
right,
check it out.
Right.
And it was because of Rhoda's insistence.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not putting this on.
Right.
But it seemed to them that it was so impossible, so improbable. They couldn't be a miracle occurring in answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And yet there the miracle stood in flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the news began to spread. And the news spread here. When God's able to do this, you want that He's the true and the living God? Don't just present them the Bible. Present them with what they got here. It said, hallelujah. It said, oh, wait a minute, I'm in the blessings. Let me get back in Psalm 126. Stay with me a minute. It said when the nations heard that, when they saw them in that kind of victory,
yeah,
it said the nations saw what their God did for them.
Yeah.
All the nations around Israel, when God turned their captivity, they saw what God did for them.
Yeah.
And they were in awe of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Israel.
Yeah.
But they had to see that He was the living God.
Yeah.
He wasn't a God that man made He was a God that made man. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. And when he saw their joy and their laughter and their singing of his praises for his deliverance, they took notice of that God, the true and the living God. And it just happens to be the God that we serve here today. Anybody got Psalm 126, second verse? That you could read that out loud. I've got it here, but I lost my place. I can quote it, but I'd rather somebody read it. I want to leave something out. Oh, I got it. I got it. It's okay. It's okay. I got it. I got it. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then, after that victory, they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The people who had lampooned them, laughed at them, saying, where's your God? They suddenly saw God moving in behalf of his people to deliver them. And what did they say? God, their God must be the true God. He's done great things for them. What happened when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is kept through that furnace? They were told to worship a false god, but what happened? What happened when they were delivered and God showed up and showed out? The very king that was killing them for not bowing to a false god said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Their God's the true God.
Yeah.
Their God's the living God.
Yeah.
When you hear the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery and all the other instruments, you worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delivered them by his supernatural power. Your God, their God, is the true and the living God. You want to convince the heathen, don't just show them the Bible. Show them your God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. They throw Daniel in the lion's den. God sent an angel shut to the mouth of the lion.
Yeah.
The lion, and the king looks over at her because he wouldn't worship a false god and says, how's Daniel doing? Oh, he's doing fine. Lions ain't doing so good. They're getting emaciated. They're hungry, but they can't eat him. They can't touch him. He said, get him out. And he made a decree. The God of Daniel. That's the true God. The God who delivers. The God. Hallelujah, who answers. The God who shows up. That is the true and the living God. The world is waiting for the church to demonstrate that our God is the true and the living God. That they might say, who has a God like their God?
Amen.
A God so nigh them in all that they call upon him for. That's what they claimed and that's what they got.
Yeah.
Where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Yeah.
And then the miracle began to occur. And it said that anointing from that mantle was so strong. Was it on Elisha or Elijah? When he died, they took his bones after the flesh had come off. And Elijah, that mantle that he dropped, such an anointing was on him. They put his bone in a big old bone jar before they take it and put it somewhere else. So his bones are in that jar. But the anointing on that man has penetrated the bones after the flesh has got off of. Isn't this amazing stuff?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the Philistines come over the hill while they were taking a man to put him out there in a bone jar.
Yeah.
Amen. Or put him out there for burial.
Yeah.
And they saw the Philistines coming and they said, we got to get rid of this fella. They throw him in a bone jar and run. And when that dead body comes in contact with that dead prophet's bones. You talk about anointing. What happened when that dead body came in contact with those bones of that old prophet that was anointed of God? There was enough residue anointing, say residue anointing, in those bones that it resurrected the dead man. He come alive. I would imagine, can I use my imagination for a minute? I got a wonderful imagination. I would imagine that when they saw a dead man go in there, and they said, my Lord, they came out here with a funeral. We're going to slay it. They're going to have about more funerals. We were done with them. But when they saw that dead man jump, yeah, I imagine some Philistines said, uh-oh, something's going on here more than an army. Something's going on here than military strategy. There must be a God in Israel. Hallelujah. 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 The heathen aren't going to listen to us read our bumper stickers, care about our book, until we start getting some answers to prayer to convince them. Amen. That our God is the true and living God. And it's God turning things around in people's lives and giving them a testimony that is going to bear witness to them.